Hey, this is Taylor.
This is Jake.
And this is Dan.
And this is Unicorn Finders, where we are on the search to illuminate the elusive unicorn factor in everyday people, businesses, and relationships. Hope you enjoy.
What's going on, y'all? Good morning. Happy Thursday. Pumped to be back at it with another weekly episode of Unicorn Finders. My name is Taylor Destin. I am joined by Jacob all the way from Canada. Jacob, thanks for joining, buddy. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, dude. So for those of you who tune in and are wondering what the heck is Unicorn Finders, or you listen to this in the future, basically this is a podcast by me and Dan Thompson. Dan's not here today. He's skiing in Vancouver. Dan, if you by chance are watching this, have fun, man. Don't break anything. Please come back in one piece. But basically, we started this thing back in 2020 where we wanted to highlight individuals and companies doing really cool shit that you probably haven't heard of yet. And so I got caught up on a Twitter back and forth with Jacob, and I was like, hey, like, we'd love to have you on. And so we're here. For those of you who are tuned in, we're on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all that stuff. So go check that out. But say hey, we'd love to hear from you. Again, this is a live show. Would love to know where you're tuning in from. We've had people from all over the world tune in. So we'd love to hear from you. So say hey. I'm excited about this episode. Me playing the software and engineering space, I don't know much about low code, no code, right? So when I was messaging with Jacob, Jacob was like, you know, this is what I do. So we're going to jump into no code, the future of it, some entrepreneur tips and tricks from Jacob's side of things. So enough with me running my mouth. Jacob, let's give the people what they want, man, which is mainly just my mother. No, I'm just kidding. Who are you? What do you do? And we'll go from there.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me again. So my name's Jacob. I run a no code, low code product agency. So we help startups design and develop software. Although this ranges from like MVPs, you know, to early stage startups, all the way to mid-level enterprises and Fortune 500 companies building internal tools, kind of the value prop of, you know, no code being a lot faster and cheaper than a traditional stack. So,
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So talk to me, talk to me about your journey into it, man, because I know we were chatting backstage and I think it's always fascinating. It's always folks fascinating starting a business, but you don't really talk to many individuals starting a business in the back of a high school classroom. So can you talk about that real quick?
Yeah. So I started Krem, in grade 12, and, I got kind of lucky because of COVID. So because COVID kind of hit at the right time, I was able to leverage the, you know, remote, lifestyle of school at the time of just sure. Zoom calls. And so if it wasn't for that, it probably would have been a lot harder. But I originally was running a media kind of marketing company when I kind of ran to my co-founder kind of coincidentally. And we had the idea to build our own media marketing thing. And so we went out and did that, but quickly realized when COVID hit that there was an opportunity to start building and taking some of these companies digital, particularly like more advanced software than just like a Zoom link. So we went and did that with our first kind of local business. And because I wasn't technical, I was like, okay, the only thing I know how to do is Bubble, because I played around with it in high school and built some like small stuff here and there. So
yeah, that's awesome. So was it just you that started the thing? Did you have a co-founder? I mean, it was you and your friends start this thing, or were you just all by yourself?
No, I have one co-founder, he's our creative director. We started the media marketing thing together and then quickly pivoted to Krem Digital being all focused on no code, low code.
That's awesome. So I'm curious, I mean, you know, what are just some, you know, if people watch this or listen to this down in the future and they're like, you know, well, I'm an entrepreneur, I have an idea, I don't know how to code. Like, how can you really add value to those folks? Like, and I guess maybe pitch yourself a little bit, like people who watch this, founders, entrepreneurs, how can they leverage no code? Why should they reach out to you? All that.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's two paths. Obviously, if you want to build yourself, no code is super powerful way of doing that. It really doesn't, it's not a massive learning curve. And so someone like me, I may look technical, but I'm actually not. The reality is, yeah, you can pretty much build a pretty complex web app, or, you know, mobile, you know, PWA kind of thing. Right. In a couple of weeks, if you kind of know what you're doing. So, you know, for reference, like we built a Airbnb clone in like a week or so.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, completely from scratch. and we redesigned it. It was called Airbnb Teams. So the idea was that you could have a group trips. I think that's actually a feature that Airbnb should probably build, is like, how can you like, because I mean, a lot of people do trips with their friends and stuff. Some people do companies. So it's like, why not be able to coordinate between different people, different times, different places, all that stuff. So we built that in there just to kind of test out the speed and also just, you know, try how we can like actually make Airbnb better. And that's what we came up with. If you're looking to build something and you, you know, don't have the time or energy to go like learn how to use no code. And you also, to be fair, I mean, obviously you're not going to be like 10 out of 10 all-star the first time you do it.
Sure.
But what we really specialize in is really high quality design and user experience. So where we kind of stand out in the market, I mean, is really world-class design, world-class user experience. The products that we put out, you wouldn't even be able to tell they're built on no code. And so our whole angle in the market is, how can we defeat the stigma that that no code has, where it's like, you know, kind of clunky templated things. A lot of the times we are like on the complete opposite end of the spectrum. And so, you know, you're better off saving, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, months on end, with, you know, that's what it'd be with traditional dev. You can come with us, build that for, you know, maybe 1 to 2 months, you know, sub, you know, 30K even. So it's quite a difference.
Yeah, that's huge. And so, and again, I mean, this is me being naive and not really familiar with this. So you can build a low code, no code solution that is fully on the web, and you can, I mean, it's going to look and feel like a full fledged app built from the ground up from a software development perspective.
Yeah, for sure.
That's huge. Is there a certain, I mean, I'm sure there's a certain limit that it can handle before switching to a full-fledged software engineering team, right? But I'm sure that delta is pretty big, right? I'm sure you can probably do a lot without that.
Yeah, it really depends what you're building. So, you know, you can build like a let's say a project management board, right? Like, there's no reason that can't scale pretty much infinitely. You're not really tapping into any like external APIs. It's pretty much all on Bubble or whatever no-code, low-code stack you're using. And so things like that, especially internal tools, I mean, where you don't need to scale to millions, that works great. But there are like some use cases, you know, for example, we worked on one project that was like a video editing platform, which is like, that's heavy, right? Like that's so like you can build the MVP in Bubble, definitely can't scale that in Bubble.
Sure.
Just cause you also lack some of the controls that you get in normal, tech stack. You also probably wouldn't want to build like a consumer mobile thing, like anything that does need to scale to millions of users.
Sure.
Like Instagram, that's probably not something you'd
want. But like, not many people are also building like that level of scale of software too, for sure. Right?
There's a lot of room in the middle. And there's a lot of businesses that do 100, maybe not hundreds, but tens of millions of dollars on Bubble with a no code stack. So
that's awesome.
Yeah,
man. So I do remember when I was at my last company recruiting, when first the no code, low code craze came out, everyone was like, I mean, literally at my last company, there was one guy at another office just selling those services. I was hot. Everyone was doing it. I haven't heard much about it now. What are you seeing, man? I mean, is it still hot? Has it fallen off a little bit? Is it coming back? Like what's kind of that forecast look like right now?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, from my perspective, like obviously I see a lot of no code stuff. So to me, it's still very relevant. And I think we're seeing a kind of a reemergence in it. A lot of creators have been pushing it lately, but I also think businesses are starting to finally catch up. And I think businesses are starting to get tired of these like really expensive vertical SaaS fees. Sure. I mean, you may have some businesses paying upwards of hundreds of thousands of dollars for basically a platform that, you know, they're renting. Especially on the enterprise level, if you have, you know, thousands of employees, you need to put on a pretty expensive plan. And so I think people are starting to realize like, okay, I mean, traditional dev to build an internal tool would still require a lot of resources, but there is that kind of in between where it's like, you can own the platform, you're building for yourself, it's custom, but you don't need the time and money and resources needed to build it as you would in traditional dev. So I think that, no code is still definitely super prominent. I think it's only going to get more prominent from here. I think it probably had a little bit of an initial like, you know, cool jump start, but now it's really starting to pick up in real businesses. So
I love that. What, I'm curious, what are, so would Webflow be like a low code, no code solution?
Yeah, for sure.
So Okay, cool. Why Bubble? I'm curious. I've actually never heard of it, but again, I'm not like some SME in the low code space. So I'm curious why Bubble?
Yeah, so Webflow is great for building like super nice websites and landing pages. Our website's built on Webflow, and so it's really great for that stuff. But
it's really nice, by the way. Check it out. Really nice.
Yeah. I mean, if people aren't familiar with the difference between like a website and a web app, a website is pretty much static information. It's just like, you know, you can go to like a restaurant's website and it shows their menu and stuff like that. There's no login experience. You're not creating a user. Our website, for example, is just pretty much information based. Where a web app is more of an experience. It's like an Uber, it's like an Airbnb where you're going and you're logging in, you're creating an account, you're taking more actions that actually hopefully, you know, transact in some way. So that's the main difference. And so Webflow is really good for websites and landing pages. Bubble is great for web apps where Webflow can't do that.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. So as we wrap up, just because, you know, we like to keep this short and quick for everybody's days. Man, what's some entrepreneurial advice, right? I mean, you've been at this thing for a few years now. You started this back in high school. I know there's a lot of people I talk to and that want to leave their main jobs 9 to 5 and start their own thing. I guess what advice, encouragement would you have for them?
Yeah, I mean, for people that are in 9 to 5 kind of grind, I would say definitely don't fall into the trap of like looking for what the next hottest thing is. I think there's a lot of people that will try to figure out, should I be doing this? Should I be doing that? Should I be doing like no code's hot? Like, should I be doing that?
Right.
And the reality is, whatever you're good at, you're going to get a lot farther at, and whatever you actually enjoy. And so if you enjoy, you know, analysis of stocks, then you're probably gonna, even though it's not the hottest thing right now, you're probably gonna do pretty well in that if you enjoy e-com or if you enjoy content. And so I think people get really caught up in like what's the latest and see a podcast and be like, wow, this has to be it. And I have a lot of people reaching out to me around, you know, should I be learning Bubble and all this stuff, and definitely it's a good time to do it, but whatever you do, I think you need to be willing to stick at it for at least probably 5 years to see any progress. So if you're not willing to stick it through for 5 years, usually that means you need to like what you're doing. So
yeah, I love that. Let me ask you this around pricing, right? Because I know pricing is hard for entrepreneurs and people who run their own business. What's your biggest advice for pricing? Because I know I talk to so many folks and that's just always a conversation, and it needs to be, right? Because that's how everybody makes money. But do you have any tips or tricks around pricing that you figured out through the course of your career?
Yeah, I mean, it's super different from like an agency perspective to like a startup, right? Sure. I think software or SaaS, like they're competing against like dozens of companies, and they're all pretty much the same product, give or take. But what I would say, and what we're trying to do more of, is really trying to dial in first off our audience and our offer. That way, pricing doesn't really determine someone's decision making. I think we've already done that with kind of just our difference in quality and design and stuff like that. So people are willing to pay a premium for us. We definitely are in the highest end of pricing. Okay. And that hasn't been a problem for us, because if you just have a product and the service that's just way better than the competition or way more specific to that person. So, you know, if you're selling to lawyers, if they're looking at a site that's just made for lawyers and targeted to lawyers, compared to one that's more generalized, they're probably, even if your pricing is higher, they'll probably pick the more specific one. So that's one way to look at pricing too.
You know, that is interesting, because I think that goes with community too. I think right now there is you've talked about creators a few times, and I mean, I follow a lot of creators, and there's this kind of this notion right now, and it kind of backs up what you're saying, that the more niche you can get right now in this market, I think the better success you're going to be, whether it's a certain content creation around a very specific topic, or it's creating community for a very specific segment of individuals. And then kind of like you just said, offering a product that's, you know, a little bit more niche and whatever way it is, seems to be moving the needle more right now. Are you seeing that too?
Definitely. I mean, I think you need to be as specific as you can, because then you have like the word of mouth and that organic growth, because then, you know, in the example of lawyers, like, if you're building a lawyer CRM, and you build the best lawyer CRM, then it's just going to catch wind really quickly because all the lawyers are going to want to use that CRM. And so I would say if pricing is your value prop, like if pricing is what you're winning on, it's probably a bad sign because you can get
interesting.
Okay. Yeah. You can get away with it for a bit, for sure. Like you can, but ultimately like you're not going to grow as much as somebody that is super specialized and pricing isn't a factor because if people are willing to pay more, one, you can obviously increase your profit margins because eventually like pricing will compress. And so if you're the lowest end of that pricing, you're going to have to compress even more.
Yeah.
But also, yeah, I mean, you also have to deal with clients that do care about pricing. And that's also not always the best experience, right? Like the people that really care about price are probably not your like best clients anyways. So there's a lot of things that go into it.
Man, in my experience, that is that. If pricing is always an issue, they usually never work out anyway. So
yeah,
that's some good knowledge right there. Cool. All right, man. Well, thank you for joining me this morning. Appreciate it. Yeah. It means a lot. For those of you watching, go check out Creme Digital. I looked at their website. It looks great. If I needed a solution that needed low code, I'd probably hit up Jacob. So y'all have a great one. Jacob, stay back safe so I can say bye to you. But y'all have a good one, and we'll see y'all next week. Peace.